Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
And so what I want to do is just jump into this holy day called Yom Teruah, also known as Rosh Hashanah. Yom Teruah, we'll talk a little bit more about it. It simply means the day of blowing. And it's a reference to blowing trumpets and shofars. It's just the day of blowing. It doesn't mean a lot when we first get it in the text, but as it develops throughout the Tanakh period and then into the Apostolic Scriptures, it just opens up. And of course, it's all about Messiah. All of the holy days are about Messiah. So in Yom Teruah, there are three end time gatherings. Yom Teruah triggers three different end time gatherings. And each of the end time gatherings have an inaugural phase and also a consummate phase. So they come to us first in the first coming of Jesus, and then they come again in a much fuller way at the second coming of Jesus. And these three comings, these gatherings, I should say, these three gatherings are a gathering of the Jewish people, the Gentiles, and a gathering of the enemies of God. All of that is represented in this holy day. So let's go ahead and begin Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. It says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. There it is, 3,500 years ago, through Moses, the day of blowing trumpets. Now, as we come down through the quarter of time, this whole idea of blowing trumpets finds its central meaning in the coronation of the kings of Israel. So they blew the trumpets whenever a new king was installed on the throne. They had an elaborate ceremony with liturgy consummating in the blowing of trumpets. And on the heels of that, they said, long live the king. And whoever the king was, maybe Solomon, long live King Solomon. And that was the coronation of a king in Israel. And the day of Yom Teruah became tied into the coronation of the king. Now, this is absolutely amazing when you think of what happens with Jesus, who is the ultimate king of Israel. The trumpet of God becomes the central trumpet in the coronation of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords 2,000 years ago. In the resurrection and ascension, he received the kingdom, the glory, the power, the honor. He became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yom Teruah is inaugurated in the coronation of King Jesus. That's when it finds its first inaugural phase and fulfillment. And of course, it's in relationship to the Messiah becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The consummation of that fulfillment will come in his return, the return of the king. And it will be at the mighty trumpet of God that the king will return home to us. So the Yom Teruah, this whole day is tied into Jesus, of course. And today we're commemorating his coronation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and also his inevitable return home to judge the living and the dead as he brings history to a close and ushers in an immortalized, glorified, new heavens and new earth. So let's look at the first gathering of his people. Yom Teruah is all about the gathering of the exiles of Jacob. And so keep in mind, in the first century, in the inaugural phase, we see the ingathering of the Jewish people, of the sons of Jacob. They're under Roman domination. Rome is the world empire. It's the mightiest of the four world empires that Daniel speaks of. And it's terrifying and frightening. It subjugated Israel. And everyone is in fear and in subjugation to this mighty pagan empire. And it's in that empire that Jesus, in his ascension and in his coronation, that he releases the Spirit of God to the world, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. But it's in that inaugural phase that the Jews are first gathered. the promise of the prophets comes to pass in its inaugural phase at Shavuot. And so I want to read this first. It's from Matthew 24, has a little bit different spin on it. And if you're like bothered by that, just come see me later. Okay, so it's Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. But immediately, Jesus is speaking, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, and that's the great tribulation, he's referring to the destruction of the temple that's coming in 70 AD. And he's saying after that, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, or in the Greek, in the heavens, just like Daniel prophesied. One like the Son of Man is going to ascend in the clouds into heaven to receive the kingdom. And so here in Matthew, Jesus is talking about his own ascension, and it says this: the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And think about it, the coming of the Son of Man in Daniel, as Jesus references that in Matthew 24 multiple times, is a reference to the ascension. It is an ascension in the clouds into heaven. And so it says the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels and with a great trumpet. This is a quote from the prophets. With a great trumpet, and it's a reference to the trumpet of God tied into Yom Teruah, that our Father in heaven has a trumpet too. And he blows his trumpet from time to time. And one of those times that he's going to blow the trumpet is going to be when he calls the sons of Jacob back home, back together. So it says, with the trumpet of God, they will gather together his elect, speaking of the sons of Jacob, from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now, 70 years later, we're going to see a lot of things take place in 70 AD. But on the heels of this ascension, something significant takes place. 10 days after the ascension of Messiah into heaven to receive the kingdom, the power, the glory, the authority to rule and reign, right? 10 days later, he sends forth his spirit in Jerusalem, because that's where it all started. That's where it's all going to end. Ready? 10 days later, let me read this. Acts chapter 2. Which is the initial gathering, the inaugural gathering of the Jewish exiles. Acts 2, verses 1, I'll read down. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and there suddenly came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves as they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. Jews in Jerusalem that had come from where? Every nation. Why? They were scattered in the nations. They were scattered throughout this great and mighty world empire. In all of the provinces of the Roman Empire, the Jews were living in the diaspora. And here they are, regathered at Pentecost, at Shavuot. But this year, at this time, God breaks forth, and the trumpets are being blown, and the noise of heaven, and the outpoured Spirit comes. And listen to what it says. It's an amazing text. It says, and now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites. These are Jews identifying with their national homelands, scattered throughout the nations, right? The Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the districts of Libya around Cyrene. All Jews scattered, now together, and the outpoured Spirit comes. This is significant in every way. It's the beginning, the inaugural return of the sons of Jacob being gathered at Shavuot. And along with them, visitors from Rome. Who are the visitors? Who are the visitors? Hello? The Gentiles. The Gentiles. It's a gathering of the Gentiles too. Visitors, both Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabs. And they all continued in amazement with great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." And so here what we have is the gathering, the initial gathering of the sons of Jacob and the Gentiles in Jerusalem, the fulfillment of what Messiah would do on this day of Yom Teruah, on the day of the Ascension, on the day of the outpoured Spirit. All of this centered around him. The inauguration is taking place. And Acts, if you read the book of Acts, it's just the ongoing record of the gathering of Jewish souls and Gentile souls through the voice of God, inviting them into his kingdom through the trumpet gospel message. It is that message of the gospel that is the trumpet of God that Jewish people are responding to, Gentiles are responding to, and it's all coming together. Started in Jerusalem and is moving out throughout the earth. Started 2,000 years ago, the inauguration of the kingdom. Now, it's to the Jew first, and then it's to the Gentiles. This is the gathering into the flock of God that the prophets told us about. It's a gathering of the Jew and the Gentile into the nation of God, Israel, into the kingdom of God, into the reign and rule of God, Jew and Gentile in Messiah, one new humanity. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the Gentiles. So the Gentiles, in this movement, everyone's confused, but it's getting clearer and clearer. Things are starting to be understood. But the Gentiles are Gentiles, and the Jews are Jews. And the problem is the Jews, they don't like being Jews. So what do? They hide their Jewishness, and they try to be like Gentiles. And what do the Gentiles do? They say, "Hey, we want to be like Jews." So they quit acting like Gentiles, and they start, like, passing themselves off as Jews. And so it's really confusing. I could tell you some really funny stories, but I won't because I don't have enough time. But suffice it to say, Jews need to be Jews. Gentiles need to be Gentiles. And I know when we think of the word Gentile, we often think of that in a negative connotation. So we say, "Well, I don't want to be that. It's negative." No, it's not always negative. There's many places in which the term Gentile is very positive. The promise to Abraham is that he would gather his descendants and save them first. And through Israel, he'd go and save the nations as well. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. He's gathering Jews as Jews, Gentiles as Gentiles, and making them into one new humanity in his Son. That is the message of the gospel. That is the trumpet of God. That is the gathering together into Israel, the elect of God. Now, here we go. Here's some passages about the Gentiles that are very positive. Romans chapter 15, verses 7 through 13. Paul says, "Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision." That's code for the Jew. Christ has become a servant to the Jewish people on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers and for the Gentiles, to glorify God for his mercy, just as it is written. And these are quotes from the Tanakh. "Therefore, I will give praise," speaking of the Messiah. This is Jesus, right? He says, "Therefore, I will give praise to you, O God, among the Gentiles," that he is in the midst of the Gentiles too, right? He's going to give praise in the midst of the Gentiles, "and I will sing to your name." Again, he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people," the Jews. "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with the Jewish people." Why? He's gathering you to them, to those already gathered. He's gathering the Gentiles to his people. And again, "Praise the Lord, all of you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." Again, Isaiah says, "There shall come from the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope." And they do. They too. I mean, untold numbers, millions, even billions of Gentiles have put their faith in Jesus the Messiah over the last 2,000 years. All of this is coming to pass. It had the inaugural fulfillment in his first coming, and it's moving into its consummation. It's just an amazing thing. So the inaugural consummate fulfilling of the gathering of the enemies of God is still coming too. We saw the gathering of the enemies of God in 70 AD when they surrounded Jerusalem and tried to destroy the people of God. We'll see it again in Revelation chapter 20. It points forward to the time in which all of the nations of the world will gather against Jerusalem. It's already happening. Look at the United Nations. Look at their hatred of Jerusalem. Most of their decisions that they make are against Jerusalem. It's like that's all they can see. The whole world is preoccupied with Jerusalem. And keep in mind, Jerusalem didn't exist until 1948. She disappeared for almost 2,000 years. She pops back up on the map. The nations gather, and they're lashing out against her. It's going to grow. It's coming to a point. In Messiah, you're a part of Israel. You're connected with Jerusalem. So get ready. This is the gathering of the enemies against the people of God. Okay, well, that's another sermon. Okay, so let's just talk about the consummation of the gatherings of the Gentiles and the Jews as it relates to this great holy day. Paul says this in Romans chapter 11. Brethren, I don't want you to be uninformed about this mystery so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel. Okay, this is the mystery of the gospel. This is what's so hard to understand. This is why we're so confused. Paul says there's a partial hardening that happened to Israel. What's that partial? Not a complete hardening. It's partial. Now listen to this. This is important. The church believed that all of Israel was rejected. They forgot to read close here in this passage. All Israel wasn't rejected. In fact, none of Israel was rejected. Some of Israel rejected the Messiah, but not all of them did. It was a partial hardening, and it goes on to say, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Until. It's temporary. It's a partial hardening, not a total hardening, and it's temporary. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, it says, all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them, the Jewish people, when I take away their sins. That's the mystery. It's the fullness of the Gentiles, which is the mystery that Paul is talking about. And that mystery has to do with the Gentiles coming in. When the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, I want you to think about this. What are the Gentiles coming into? For almost 2,000 years, the church has been teaching they're coming into Christ. They're coming into Messiah. They're getting born again. That's not the context. See, in hermeneutics, one of the principles is context. In fact, the maxim is context is king. You got to read the words of an author within their context. When Paul says the fullness of the Gentiles is coming in, you have to ask the question, coming into what? Paul, what are you referring to when you say coming into? Well, he just referred to it in a few verses before this, and I don't have time to share, but you can go read them, but here it is. It's about coming in to the olive tree of Israel. It's about believing Gentiles waking up and saying, wait a minute, we're supposed to be in the olive tree of Israel. It's about them turning and jumping into the olive tree of Israel and identifying with Israel as Israel, the elect of God. So the Gentile Christian is starting to wake up to the great mystery that they, as Gentiles, are grafted into the olive tree of Israel, and they are becoming one with her. We're seeing this everywhere. This is a mighty move of God. I believe it's part of the last time movement of God, which may precipitate the return of Messiah. Because when the fullness of the believers come in, when the church turns and says, actually, we didn't replace Israel. Sorry, Israel, we thought we replaced you. In fact, now we understand you were never rejected. And we're being grafted into you, not you into us. When the Gentile Christian wakes up and starts to come into the roots of their faith, this is what Paul says. As they come in, the fullness comes in, then Israel's going to wake up to Messiah, put their trust in Messiah, and then he's going to come back. To bring about the consummation of everything that he promised. In fact, he told Jerusalem before she was destroyed, until you learn to cry out, Baruch HaBa B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, you're not going to see me again. And they're not going to cry out and say that until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The nations have gathered against her. It's getting worse and worse. And now the church is waking up and starting to stand with Israel. And Israel's seeing that the only group on the planet that really is supporting her is, in fact, the believers. And America, who actually is a Judeo-Christian nation. That is the only group that's really supporting her. And so you can see this whole thing kind of coming together. So therefore, as a branch, if you're a believer in Yeshua, as a branch of the olive tree of Israel, and as a covenant member with her, and as a full citizen of her, we should gladly submit to the rule and reign of God through his beloved Son, our Messiah. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not just the Savior of the world. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has a people, Israel, and we're grafted in. He has a land. He has a dominion. He has a realm. He has a kingdom, power, and glory to govern his Father's creation in heaven and on earth. And like every king, he has a law that reveals, expresses, and manifests his justice, righteousness, loving kindness, and truth. We blow the trumpets as a call to repent because he is a king and he will judge his people. Yom Teruah or Yom Kippur comes 10 days after this holy day and culminates in judgment. Salvation for the believer, damnation for the unbeliever. It has a consummation when Jesus returns. So this whole day of Yom Teruah is about blowing the trumpets, rejoicing in him that he is king, and repenting, getting ready for our king to return. What's repentance? What's repentance? Is that about coming back to Jesus? No, you're a believer. He's calling believers to repent. When you look throughout the Tanakh period, you know what repentance was always about? It was never about coming back to God. They already believed in God. Repentance was always about coming back to his law, to his commandments, to his ways. That's what it's a call for. We're called to come back to the commandments of God, not the commandments of men, not the traditions of men, but to the commandments of God. There is only one God, one Messiah, one kingdom, one spirit, one law, and one new humanity of Jews and Gentiles governed by that law. We're saved by grace through faith, but we're governed by the law of our King. It's his rule and his reign over us. I'm almost done. The church is waking up and beginning to understand this mystery. Rome and Jerusalem are used in different places as types and symbols. We need to understand this. We as the church need to leave Rome and her traditions, her replacement theology, her Torahlessness, and return to Jerusalem. Return to believing Israel and the rule and reign of Jesus as represented in the law of God. The fullness of the Gentiles coming into the olive tree of Israel will hit a critical mass that will give way to the current geopolitical Israel, turning their hearts to Jesus the Messiah, triggering his glorious return, the end of this age, and the initiation of the new creation, where we will rule and reign with him forever and ever. So in our application today, I want to encourage you to repent, to leave Rome and her traditions and come back to Jerusalem. Come back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his holy law is a way of life. This is what we need to return to jump into that olive tree of Israel and to say to our Jewish believing brother or sister, I'm here. I'm home now. I'm with you as a Gentile. I don't replace you. I join you. I'm not overtaking Israel. I'm partaking with Israel in the covenant blessings of God. And we will live together in our faith in Messiah, in that holy construct of his holy ways as represented in the Torah. As a believer in Jesus, he wrote the Torah on your heart. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 8. The Torah is written in your heart for a reason. Scratch and sniff. It's pleasing in every way. Unpack the Torah, people. It's who you are. You're part of Israel, too. It's your inheritance. It's your way of life, too. And as the Gentiles in mass begin to unpack the Torah and live within that context, unbelieving Jews are going to look. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to get jealous and say, stop it. But it's that very thing that God's going to use and then remove the blindness and bring them in. And when they come crashing in, the trumpet of God is going to blow. Revelation chapter 11, Thessalonians, God's trumpet's going to blow. Jesus is going to return. And then the enemies of God are going to be destroyed. And we're going to step into a new creation, a beautiful, immortalized, glorified, beautified world. We're going to have glorified, beautified bodies. It's the ultimate eternal makeover. Hallelujah. We'll all be vegan. Okay, we'll work on that. Okay. So as we rejoice today and get into these holy days, I want to remind you, they are shadows of things to come, and the reality is in Jesus. These days are shadows of things to come. They're relevant. They prepare for things still coming. Therefore, understand they're all about Messiah. So share the good news of Jesus. In him we have forgiveness. In him we have a kingdom. In him we have a new way of living. In him we have the reality of God's dwelling presence in us. We are the hope of the world. Go and let your light shine. Go and be that trumpet of God. Go and speak the gospel. Blow the trumpet everywhere and bring people into this glorious kingdom. He is coming again. Baruch Hashem. Chag Sameach.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Yivarech Adonai Veishmerecha Yaher Adonai Panavalecha Veihunecha Isa Adonai Panavalecha Ve'asemlecha shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov. Shabbat.